Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Place tonight. It is Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week. Yes, October the 12th, 2016. And tonight, we want to welcome you in, and we want to welcome you to call in because we will talk about the Black STEM Renaissance. There have been so many new Black STEMs coming out over the past couple of years. Just an explosion, it seems like, and more quality films. Now, I can remember, like, when Waiting to Exhale came out and Boys in the Hood, there was, like, a resurgence of Black films. And it was almost like, once again, seeing the, like, old-school Black films, like Coolie High and let me see, what else was out back then? The Blackula films, all those films. Cornbread Earl and Me, I just recently watched that again. It's been years since I've seen that. I couldn't really remember it when I first saw it, so I watched that one again, and I think we talked about that recently here at the Lotus Place. But that was a very, very good film. It showed a lot of semblance to today, what we experienced. But tonight we want to talk about the Black STEM Renaissance, and particularly because of Birth of a Nation that premiered last weekend, mostly in the States. And it's been a lot of controversy surrounding that film, and we have Feather Light with us tonight that will give us a review. Namaste, Feather Light. How are you?
Namaste. I'm fabulous. How are you doing, Black Rose?
No, I'm doing well. I'm well. I can't complain too much. You're rallying a lot of papers, though, and we can definitely hear them. Yes, yes. So I want to just, like, go over a couple of the films that we'll talk about tonight, and some of them are series like Blackish, which I finally watched tonight. I watched 1.5 episodes. Not that it was not good, because the first episode, it was actually good. It was actually good. It had black content in it, which I totally appreciated. Shows talked about, and Lawrence Fishburne is in it. I didn't know he was in Black.
Yes, yes.
The father. And then one of my other favorites, oh gosh, I just drew a blank on her name. I can't believe it. She deals with mental illness. She has a mental illness issue. I can't believe I'm still in the middle of collecting these names. But anyway, we'll come back to Jennifer. I know her first name is Jennifer, and she plays the mother. She always plays someone saucy. Spicy mother. You know who I'm speaking of. But I didn't know she was in it.
I probably
would have watched it just to see her
crack
on everybody. Yes.
She
plays the mother. She plays the mother in law.
Oh my goodness. I know it's hilarious.
It's hilarious with her in it. So
she played
in
Tyler Perry's Family Reunion, right?
She did play in one of his films. I know that.
Yeah, maybe not that
also,
one.
Yeah. She played in the one with Angela Bassett. I know she played in that one with Angela Bassett and Rick Fox and the other little fine Lance guy. Can't think of his last name. But I know she was in that one. But Jennifer, I'll get her name shortly. But oh my God, it was actually pretty good. It was a good episode. I just didn't have time to finish watching the second episode. But anyway, so we'll talk more about those episodes. But let me give my condolences if people have not heard. I'm sure everybody remember Tommy Ford from Tommy on Martin. He had an aneurysm in his stomach, and he died today.
Tommy?
So, Tommy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh,
Tommy
really?
Ford. Yeah, he was
yes, I like Tommy.
Yeah, and he was only 52. He was only 52 years of age. That's young. That's young. So,
wow.
I don't know what happened.
Young.
I remember just like I was like on the computer earlier, and then I saw the story that he was in critical condition, and then later on, I saw the news feed where he succumbed to that aneurysm. So, condolences to his family. That is really sad.
Yeah,
I don't know if he had some previous existing health issues or what. Don't know, but yeah, he just had an aneurysm. I know when sometimes when people have those aneurysms, you just go down from there. Like one of my favorite aunts, she had a brain aneurysm while in the hospital visiting her daughter. And she was sitting in a chair talking to her daughter while her daughter was in the hospital bed, and then she started slurring, and the nurses said, well, hey, we need to check you, and next thing you know, she just had an aneurysm. So, I just don't know, so condolences to his family, and I don't know who survives him and his family yet, but we really haven't seen much from Tommy. But I mean, he was very popular on Martin, though. I mean, we all, if
yeah,
you watch Martin,
sure
you know, yeah, you know Tommy. Tommy had a reoccurring, very funny character. So
he sure did. He was always going to work, but never seemed to have a job.
Right. And they would be like, "What job, man?"
But he would always be so together, so well presented. You know, he always looked nice.
Yeah, and I don't even think they had any episodes of him like saying, "Hey man, let me borrow some money," you know, anything
no,
like that.
No, they never
know?
Had him asking for money either.
Mm-mm. I don't recall that. I don't recall that at all. So, also, while we're giving our condolences, let's give our condolences to the people that were affected by Hurricane Matthew, because Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
Decimated Haiti, and poor Haiti. Haiti just, Lord have mercy. See, when it came in with all this mess, all these wars, and separated the parents from the children, that culture could not be passed on so that people can continue to know how to survive and overcome any nefarious attacks. And that's what's been happening to Haiti ever since Haiti won independence in 1804. It's just been constant attacks. You know, people constantly say that they believe that Haiti has been under attack through weather manipulation, which I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Because Haiti could be viewed as a tourist attraction, just like the Bahamas. It's so beautiful, and it was once the island that supplied the whole world with sugar.
Yes, it was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, and look, sugar's in everything.
Oh,
everything.
Mhm. So, I tell you, it's just horrible. Just looking at some of the pictures and the aid. Listen, we know who not to send our money through if you want to reach Haiti. Now, who you can send your money through, and I'll play this clip. Let me make sure I have this. Because even the Haitian people are saying, please, do not send your money through Red Cross. Do not send it through no Clinton Foundation, because it doesn't reach the Haitian people. So, Usain Bolt, of course, Olympic gold medalist, I think 10-time Olympic gold medalist, has a foundation, whereas he supplies money to build homes in Haiti. And so he donated through his foundation $10 million to help rebuild some homes. And Beyonce and Jay-Z are supposed to donate another $15 million. So that would be absolutely great.
Good.
Good. Yeah, and so I was trying to figure out, too, like, how can we here at the Lotus Place also do something like send care packages, send some money. I do have a couple of people. Well, I have a friend that's actually Haitian, and I have another friend that goes on missions to IAT. Let me stop mispronouncing it, to IAT. So I said I would contact them. I've been a little ill over the past week, though, so I just kind of been like, ugh.
Yeah, she has.
I don't know if it's just being away from home and just on a different, eating schedule and work schedule and a different climate, all up here in Ohio, and it's so, oh, Lord Jesus. I don't see how these people do it up here, but whatever. I'm not even going to talk about y'all state. But anyway, let's see here. News to donate to Haiti. Wait a minute, not that one. Let me play this one. Let me play this clip. This is a clip speaking on the news in Haiti and what the Haitians are feeling about donations. Have a listen.
Okay, so this story comes to us from Gary Barnes at Truth Kings. So, Haiti has suffered its second major catastrophe in 6 years when last week a Category 4 hurricane ravaged the island. As Haiti's frightened people emerged from shelter, damage to their homes and livelihoods became clear. Please help. In 2010, the country was struck by a magnitude 7.0 earthquake. Government officials say that the hurricane's aftermath has left at least 350,000 people in need of aid. Past that, they also have one more detail in common. They don't want the help. As absurd as that may seem, Haitians are so jaded with foreign aid after reports it was squandered that they'd prefer to be left in squalor than deal with another Red Cross theft. According to independence.co, trust in the ARC and in foreign aid more widely has been badly shaken by a 2015 report that found donations had been squandered. Despite collecting nearly $500 million to provide relief after the 2010 Haiti earthquake and pledging to build 700 permanent homes, the ARC has been accused of only building 6. Wow. Unbelievable. In the coming days, many of you are going to write and ask me how you can help Haiti. One woman said on Twitter after the hurricane, "Do not give to the American Red Cross." That's sad. Additionally, Haitians were also looted by the Clintons. Let's talk about that again. Initially, unbelievable. Additionally, Haitians were also looted by the Clinton Foundation after the 2010 earthquake, leaving them with no semblance of justifiable trust in terms of foreign donations. On October 6th, the Committee to Mobilize Dictatorship in Haiti, Kumakota, Kumite Mobilization, Conti Dicate, conducted a small but vocal protest attended by some 20 Haitian activists in front of New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's Manhattan office at 120 Broadway off Wall Street. We will be there to denounce Schneiderman's double standard in deciding to prosecute the Trump Foundation for fraud while ignoring the lack of audits and billions missing from the Clinton Foundation, Kumakota announced in a press release. This is clearly Schneiderman abusing the authority of his office to tilt the scales in favor of Hillary Clinton in the upcoming U.S. presidential elections. Haitians are so disgusted with Hillary Clinton's vile theft of their funds after the earthquake, which left them exposed to the massive hurricane in tents and tin huts. that they are adamantly pushing for Donald Trump to become the next president of the United States. We are here today to tell Schneiderman that he is looking in the wrong place, Dawood Andre, a Comacota organizer, told WEND. The real corruption is at the Clinton Foundation. The Trump Foundation might have a few thousand dollars missing, but the Clinton Foundation has stolen billions. We are here to tell Schneiderman and the state of New York to stop the bias. Haiti's criticism of Clinton wasn't exclusive to them. After Bill Clinton tweeted out support for the nation following the hurricane, many on social media slammed the former president. Quote, "Can't wait to get down to Haiti to expose the fraudulent Clinton Foundation," one person says. "Last time tragedy struck Haiti, while 316,000 lifeless bodies lay buried under rubble, Clinton saw an opportunity." Unbelievable. This is so sad. "Thanks Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton flying out to Haiti to help ASAP. Real Americans grab a shovel, not steal $6 billion in money." And here's what Bill Clinton says. "Funny guy, praying for everyone impacted by Hurricane Matthew. Here's how you can help in Haiti." Yeah, I won't be sending you a dime, clown. Here's somebody else. "The people of Haiti remember the last you took money meant for them." Yeah, expose them. Expose these rotten devils for who they are. Expose them. Expose them. And I'm going to continue to expose them. So, if you'd like more news, information, or updates, please subscribe.
All right. Yeah. So, there you have it. The Haitian people don't want you to send them any help through the Clinton Foundation at all.
Yeah.
So, don't do that. Yeah, King B, we hear you. I was getting ready to say hello. I was just finishing my sentence. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. The Clintons. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hi, King B.
Hey.
Namaste.
The Clintons. Hey, baby. The Clintons have to account for $14 to $17 billion they collected on behalf of the people who were victims of the so-called earthquake. That not one dime has been relinquished to the Haitian people. And it's like the Clinton Foundation is a criminal enterprise. Eutrice Lee has had exclusive coverage on her blog radio of this investigator that has the Clinton Foundation up against the wall, guilty as charged, and they need to be in jail. And the sad thing about it, the Clinton Foundation was never audited for years by the IRS. So just like Trump hasn't paid taxes in years because he had the business of the IRS, so does the Clinton.
That's right. So that's why she can't really say too much, and she doesn't say too much, and she's been kind of quiet. She can't really say too much about anything about what Trump has done or is doing.
Yeah. Oh, you guys got to. That's why you guys got to see the film. I just saw it today. Birth of a Nation.
Talk about that. Yes, Birth of a Nation. I have not had an opportunity to see it yet. I am going home this weekend, and I am going to see Birth of a Nation when I make it home.
Yeah, you can see why the white supremacists had to put out this poison, hoping that blacks would be falling for the okie doke, where.
Hold on, Kent. Just hold that thought. Let me just run through our topic, give out the number, then we can go ahead on and get into review and a discussion on that, because I know that people are anxious to hear and talk about it, and Aja's going to give us a review because she went to see. You went to see it, right, Aja? Featherlight.
Yes,
did
I did.
I sure did.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Fabulous. Okay, and King B went to see it. Delta is supposed to be taking her grandchildren to see it, and I don't know if she's done that as of yet, so I hope she does. And I want you guys to cover your mouth and mute your phone when you cough, King B, please.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But did you hear, King B, that Tommy Ford that played on Martin, he died, had an aneurysm? Did you hear about him?
No.
Yes. He was only 52. He had an aneurysm in his stomach, apparently. So, yeah, we got to send our condolences out. And everybody, be sure to take care of yourself. That's why I've been trying to take care of myself. I was having chest pains.
Me too.
I was having, like, chest pains because when you're living in a hotel for more than 5 days and you're eating hotel food, not having your home cooked food, that is dangerous. That is very, very dangerous. And you have to really make some adjustments. So, y'all, lift me up in prayer, too. Let me give out the phone number because I know Southern Light and King B want to talk about Birth of a Nation, and I want to hear about Birth of a Nation. I think we really should wait until we come back from the 9:30 break, though, so I won't have to cut you guys off.
Jennifer Lewis is her name.
That's right, Jennifer Lewis. Jennifer Lewis is her name.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. So tonight we're going to talk about, let me just run through some of the shows that we'll talk about tonight. We're talking about Black Film Renaissance and Birth of a Nation hysteria, the hysteria from this film with these people that were protesting the film because of this rape case, alleged rape case with Nate Parker, the director of the play, of the film. And this happened when he was a student at Penn State. He and his roommate were accused of raping this, raping his girlfriend. And I have a lot I can say about that. And we've talked about it before here at the Lotus Place. But anyway, so people were protesting the film and saying that we shouldn't support it and all that. But my thoughts were, look, I'm going to see it as long as I've been waiting on the film on Nat Turner.
Somebody was able to do it.
Who are these? Who are these people protesting? Who are they?
Exactly. And this man, like I said, with this one person on Twitter, this Nate Parker has been in like 17 or 20 films. Now all of a sudden, when he does a black film
20
about Nat Turner, then you want to be mad and protest. If you don't get the hell out of here with that bull crap. Please, give me a break.
You see, women are very, these feminists are very, very cagey about their sincerity about women being victimized by men. You've got a prison upstate New York called Bedford Hills Correctional Facilities for Women. That is right in the backyard of Hillary Clinton. She has never paid a visit there, never even sent them a care package. Never even provided them with a better legal representation to present their appeals for getting out of this dungeon.
Right.
The very idea that she's supposed to be a feminist.
Please.
There was no feminist to support Tawana Brawley, and if Tawana, she had been fully aware. If Tawana had lied, then it was the duty of the Attorney General, former Attorney General Robert Abrams, to take out a charge of falsifying a police report to teach other young ladies a lesson about falsifying a police report. He never did that because he knew Tawana would have had, was her family, and above all, her attorney automatically would have had subpoena power. That means she could have subpoenaed the governor, the FBI, the police involved, all of the above, which would have blown her case out of the water. And most blacks forgot or didn't know her case involves a homicide that has not been resolved yet. But the coroner said, the police officer that was found dead with a bullet wound to the head.
King B, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. We can talk about Tawana, and I love when you share that information. But let's bring it back, and then.
Well, I'm bringing the issue about these phony feminists that do not really they're taken serious by black people, and black people are easily spooked by white folk. That's what I'm trying to point out.
Right.
That these feminists are not sincere. They're not sincere.
They're not sincere at all. They're not sincere at all. If Hillary Clinton really cared about women and children, she never would have gutted aid for dependent families when she was in Arkansas.
Imagine that.
She never would have done that. And if she cared so much, then those women and children would have clean water in Haiti and not some multi-million-dollar soccer field that was built.
See the water, she goes to Flint, Michigan, go to a black church and never demand that the governor be arrested for conspiracy. People are forced to drink poisonous water for months.
Right.
And She never said a mumbling word about the governor and his stooges must be arrested for conspiracy.
Never
and human rights
anything.
Violation. Anytime you
Absolutely.
Got General Motors canceling their contract with the water supply because it was contaminating their engine parts, that's metal. You got human beings drinking the same water, for Christ's sake.
They don't care. So we're going to talk about Luke Cage. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to watch Luke Cage. It was a Netflix original. And Luke Cage was so hot, it caused Netflix streaming service to collapse on the first night it was aired. And then there's Queen Sugar. Queen Sugar, that's Ava DuVernay. That's one of Ava DuVernay's productions. And she's the director of it, I believe. And then Oprah Winfrey is the executive producer. And I know Oprah Winfrey is one of your favorite people, King B. And then we have Underground. Oh my God, I love Underground. If you have not seen that, it's on WGN. We'll talk about Underground. And then there's also August Wilson's Fences, which will star Denzel Washington and Viola Davis.
Oh, that was good. I saw good, excellent previews on that.
Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing some previews of that on YouTube.
Did you hear about the new movie that's going to be released on Halloween? Tyler Perry's buffoonery about she's Madeira dressed like in her outfit with a bloody chainsaw.
Yeah.
And blacks will flock to see this buffoonery, but won't dare flock to see Birth of a Nation. Show you how sick we are.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This buffoonery.
You know they will. They won't protest that one. I don't know. People do protest Tyler Perry movies though when he plays Madea.
No, but still, it's too many of us still taking our children. You know, these younger generation. You know, these people who have no knowledge of their history. And I know, like Spike can't stand him, but see, Spike can't talk either. All these years, Spike Lee never could get the funding or attempt to get the funding to do a film on the Haitian Revolution, when Arthur Davis said before he died in Joining Ancestors that he was sorry he didn't do a film on the revolution about Toussaint Overture. Come on.
Yeah. But it must be some reason, though, you know, that he hasn't done it. Maybe he can't do it the way he wants to do it.
Well, he did. He did.
Behind
listen. He did Malcolm X, didn't he? Wasn't that very controversial?
I know, but I mean,
but it was the truth. It was the truth.
See, we can't just really say what movie somebody should or shouldn't do.
I'm saying
if they're trying to or not.
Well,
I'm
saying,
I'm reading off my list of films that we're going to talk about. Can I just do that? Can I do that, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's getting dirty, by the way.
I want to go ahead on and finish that so we can hear from the both of you about Birth of a Nation. Yes, so let me just finish reading this. I want to hear these reviews. And so Empire, which is very controversial, so hear your thoughts on that. And then Blackish, Rosewood has Morris Chestnut, Survivor's Remorse. Now that's a comedy on is it Stars? I believe it's Stars or HBO, one of them. Survivor's Remorse, and that's executive produced by Cleveland's own LeBron James. I do like Survivor's Remorse, and I'll share with you why I like that. It really touches on some deep issues and topics.
It sure does. I like it, too.
Yes, it does. And then there's Power on HBO, starring Omari Hardwick. And I did hear that... Okay, that little movement right there is interrupting me. Okay, then how do you pronounce his name? Daryl Lindo. He is going to play Marcus Garvey. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah.
Oh, you know I love him. Yeah. He's going to play Marcus Garvey. Right. And then, what's his name? Don Cheadle. I heard he's supposed to be playing Miles Davis, but I hadn't heard anything else about this film, so I'm waiting on this.
Yeah, me too.
I'm waiting on this. That
I love Don Cheadle.
I do too.
Yes.
Then Almost Christmas. I forgot who's going to be in that
Everybody.
Everybody.
I saw a preview tonight.
Oh, okay.
Today, brother. And I can tell you how many stars it was.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know. Oh, by the way, Samuel Jackson is starring in a movie where he's dressed like a very wicked person with his eyes lit up. That's a Halloween horror movie also. His hair is all white, standing on the end like he's been electrified, and his eyes are lit up like he's a ghost.
Well, you know, Samuel Jackson just loves to make up. I think that's mm-hmm. one of his things. He loves to make up. He just, whatever y'all want to put on me, I'll do it, and I'll do it well. That's his take.
Yeah. Well, I just love the fact that Sissy Tyson, she said she would never make a movie that was so black in a negative way. She always
she
made
said
a
what?
Movie. She would never make star in a movie that showed blacks in a negative light. Black people need who are able to get in the movie business or star in a movie. Look, if you're gonna star in any old thing, then you know they know they catch you. And you know, until we have our own sense of respect and self-respect and pride in knowing our history, they can have you doing anything. I mean, I feel sorry for this young girl. Well, she's not a young girl, though. She's quite older now. But Holly, what's her name? Holly Burton?
Halle Berry.
Yeah, please have mercy, Jesus. You know, she is of mixed blood. She's confused as to who she wants to be identifying with.
She's a tragic mulatto. You know the story of a tragic mulatto.
It goes back to the days of Dorothy Dandridge, where she was used by this big-time Jewish producer. And he used her, abused her, and then he discarded her like tissue paper. And she couldn't get over the fact that she was always hated by him. What's his name? Oscar? I forget his name, but anyway, well-known Jewish producer who starred. She made a film that he made Carmen and other films, but you know, Dorothy Dandridge never appreciated her blackness.
And she was a beautiful, talented woman.
Definitely.
And then there's also the Hidden Colors series. Okay, we're up to I think number 4, and he's already working on Hidden Colors 5. The highest selling DVD documentary in history. Yes, Hidden Colors series, which highlights a lot of esoteric information in terms of our black and African history. And then there's the recent release of The 13th, by Ava DuVernay. I think I'm chopping up her name. Ava DuVernay. Gosh, I wish I could pronounce her name properly. Pardon me, sister. But anyway, so that came out on Netflix also last Friday. I believe it was last Friday. Yes, last Friday. I think I still have about 15 or 20 minutes on watching that, and I actually fell asleep on that. It was interesting, but to me it was almost just like, I guess it's like when you're already kind of familiar with the information and they're not really enlightening you or sharing anything else that you're unfamiliar with, then it's just like, yeah, I've heard this a million times. And so they just didn't really, to me, pull out some points that were edifying to me. So, but I do recommend that other people watch it if you're trying to find out information about slavery and its connection to the prison industrial complex. So we should take a break so that we can get into this review of Birth of a Nation that Featherlight and King B will share with us tonight. So let's take a break. But before we do that, you can give us a call and share your thoughts at 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. And give us a call and share your thoughts also on any one of these films. and we will be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Did you watch the presidential debate, and what did you think?
Watched a little bit of it. You know, to me it was embarrassing to watch that these are our two candidates. Both are proven liars, and you know, it almost seems like they're trying to debate who's less racist. And, you know, at this point, talking with one of my friends, it was, you have to pick the lesser of two evils, but in the end, it's still evil. You know, that's a very ignorant statement, that if you don't agree with what's going on here, and that if you want justice and liberty and freedom for all, that you should leave the country. No. He always says, make America great again. Well, America's never been great for people of color. And, you know, that's something that needs to be addressed. Let's make America great for the first.
And so that was Colin Kaepernick, who will be starting this Sunday. And there's been a lot of talk about him playing, because apparently, I don't watch football, of course, but apparently he has not been starting in the games. And people have been saying, I did see a clip where the fans were, like, shouting for Colin Kaepernick, like about a week or so ago or something. So I guess now Colin Kaepernick, the football player that plays for San Francisco 49ers, who started the national anthem protest, and it's just like taking off. I mean, you have high school students, band members, volleyball teams, soccer teams, people taking a knee. So yeah, other football players are raising a fist. And, you know, the NBA, they according to the NBA, the NBA, see, they need to renegotiate their contract, because the NBA is, they're treated, players for the NBA are treated a lot harsher than other players. They have so many more restrictions, it seems like.
They sure do.
With their contract. So,
they sure
because
do.
Because they have to stand for the national anthem, and, you know, they're fined if they do anything on the court and all of this stuff. I remember one time when one of the fans called one of the players a nigger and threw a cup at him, and when the NBA player, the basketball player, went up into the stand to say something to the man, I think he tried to jack him or something, so he was fine. But I'm like, look,
she was.
If I'm sitting here working, and
yes,
I'm working, because that's what I'm doing now. I know you think I'm just entertaining you, but I'm out here working, and somebody turned around and called me a nigger. Yeah, I'm mad. Yeah, I want to go up in the stand and do something to him or whatever. You know, that's probably how he felt. I don't know what I would do. I can't say I don't know what I would do. But
you know,
at that time, he felt like he wanted to respond in the way, whatever way he did respond. And then he turned around
as
and
a human being,
as human, but,
as
but,
a male.
Right, but hockey players, let me finish, hockey players who are predominantly white, they're encouraged to fight when they're out there playing. And all, I mean, they're encouraged to do all kind of stuff. It, just clown. It's just accepted. And nothing happens. Okay, that's okay.
Here's the thing that we got to be very cognizant of, the fact that there's a difference between patriotism and nationalism. There is a need to understand the difference between the two. And when white people stand up and so proudly salute the flag and sing the Star Spangled Banner, you notice they only sing one verse. They don't sing the whole Star Spangled Banner, because afraid we might catch the third verse, which denounced blacks who fought with the British to help the British regain their land.
Mm-hmm.
And The sad thing about our people is that they don't know that Kaepernick is one of the most bravest sports figures since the days of Muhammad Ali, because he's putting his career on the line, but he's trying to tell people who have a ticking brain left that when do you draw the line when you have been disgraced? They can kill your child at any time, anywhere, and get away with it. And there's been no concern about Black Lives Matter. It never did since slavery.
Well, let's get into our commentary on Birth of a Nation.
All right now.
So, Ajay, you want to see it?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, this is how I'm coming from. Okay. So we're gonna come. I know we're gonna come from different views, so people can get a very wide, you know, review from what we notice. Okay. First of all, what are you gonna say?
No, I didn't say anything. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. First of all, one thing that I noticed is that we've been seeing a lot of, you know, movies about slavery, right? The Django and, you know, Underground, quite a few here of late. This one showed a completely different view of slave ownership. Okay, so I won't give away any plots or anything like that. It wasn't the kind of movie that have you on the edge of your seat, you know, like Underground or like the Django, you know, one is gonna never happen next. It was one of those movies where what happens, and you pay attention. And you'll see little subtle things go by, and you're like, oh, you know. In the past, I have seen movies where the slave master is depicted as, you know, wealthy, and he you know, makes sure that his slaves are clothed and fed and things of that nature, and they're not really treated badly unless they do something bad, like run away or talk back, you know, or something of that nature, try to learn to read or write, which they know are against the law. So yes, they will be punished and sometimes even hung. But this movie, you saw another side of slave owners, how really barbaric and uncivilized they really are. So that is another reason why there was a blockage to see just how uncivilized these slave owners were. You know, it just kind of like, oh, you know, you've seen welts before. Like, you know, they're always beating them, you know, like giving them welts with running away, what have you. But the way Ned Parker is the director, and he's also the main star. So, of course, he, you know, is going to get whipped. But you actually see what welts look like. And, it's almost like you're there. So he shows another part of slavery that you don't normally see. You don't normally see. And
you mean like the graphic? It's more graphically shown or depicted in the film, or what?
Let me see. Yeah, I guess graphic too. Yes.
What do you think? What do you say, King B, in terms of like what she's saying?
Oh, she's right on the money. And even when he was an acceptable preacher on the plantation, he had, shall we say, an epiphany, and he realized that he had to really go into what it means to be liberation part of the Bible rather than just accepting your slave condition. And the very idea that he, Nat Turner, was what most black pastors today run away from. They run away from being a freedom fighter and involved with not just talking it, but doing it. Nat Turner was the beginning of the threat of white supremacy reigning over blacks to have slaveocracy in this part of the world for 1,000 years. So between a black man named Nat Turner, who most blacks won't dare name their son after, and then a white man named John Brown, and then a nation called, how do you say it, Korean mother? Black Rose, Haiti?
Haiti.
Okay, let me point out one other thing about the movie that I found was very, very important. And again, when I said graphic, I'm meaning how the enslaved were treated. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And the Django, you know, you saw them with the things wrapped around the, you know, the head, and what is this thing where when you run away? It has these long iron things sticking out.
The different restraints that were used.
Okay, so we've seen those before. So that is, you know, that is nothing new. It's something beyond that. Okay, and I'm really talking about the slave owners. You know, you think that just because they have money, one thing that is brought up too. It shows the beginning of teaching the Bible to subdue. That's a very big part.
Yes.
That's a very big part because it's not something... See, I've always wondered, you know, like, why was he going around so into the Bible, you know, anyway? I mean, they say he was a prophet. You know, how did he get to be a prophet? You know, da, 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 da. But you see how this came about. He was told to teach these parts of the Bible, since you know how to read the Bible and everything. Why don't you teach these parts specifically to your people?
To make them submit to their slave condition.
Yes, yes, to submit them, because they're acting a damn fool over here. I hear you got a preacher. Bring them over here, because these damn fools over here about to go crazy. I know I don't have any money to feed them. I don't have any money to clothe them. Pretty soon they're going to uprise. So send your preacher over here. So that's the precept as it was. So I didn't realize it was like that.
Did you, that's important. Did you catch that scene where this brother, who's already in the most gruesome, barbaric situation, how they broke out his teeth?
Yeah,
don't tell
the things that just happened. Don't tell what's going to happen.
Well, you know, a lot of people not going to
really spoiler. All right.
So what I'm saying is that our people should see
a
movie. Our people should go see this movie because it's giving them like the Bible from Genesis to Revelation about the barbarism of slavery.
Go ahead.
It was not something to take lightly that there are those blacks who want to go buy into this thing where we were uncivilized in Africa, so being that we were kidnapped and brought to Africa, brought to America, it helped us to become civilized.
Right.
And gave
and
us
they
religion.
They were the ones that were uncivilized, and it shows in this movie, it shows in this film, just how uncivilized they were. And one little glimpse, if you blink, you've got to pay attention. If you blink, you'll miss subtle little things that are like, you see this little white girl, she's la la la, she's got this long rope, la 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 la. At the end of this rope, there's this little black girl.
There you go.
La 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 la. And that's all you see.
Uh-huh.
That's all you see. And you're like, damn. You know, you read about it.
Right,
you know.
Well, which one of you want to explain that scene? Like, what's that all about? Because some people may be like, so what does that mean?
No, it was a white child on the plantation, the plantation owner, daughter, who had a black friend, and that the friend was a slave, and they had this kind of comrade right away where the slave girl didn't think nothing of it, the rope around her neck, running with her white friend.
No. Let me give my version. Let me give my version. Okay? That little girl, the black girl, is a pet. PET. She is a pet. She's a pet. I want people to realize what we're saying here, like a dog. And they treat them like, run, 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 and let me get on top of you, and let me kick you. You are, you may say friend, but no, friends don't do friends like that. Like they do that's their property and their gifts. And also in the Nat Turner movie, one lady got married, and so Nat Turner's character convinced the master to buy this woman for sale. So she's like, oh yeah, there'll be great gifts. So there were gifts. So there was a gift to his daughter for getting married and getting the hell out of the house. And that's another thing you got to pay attention to. Those white men, those Europeans, did not love their women. They really didn't. So it's like, yay, she's gone, and so is the mama too. Oh, I got the house to myself. You know. So that was a gift. And that's what they thought of. This is your gift to do whatever you wish. And when they give them to little children, it's a pet.
Exactly. Because we were, because we were considered as property. So
yes.
I did see that scene on YouTube. I was able to see a trailer, so I'm familiar with the scene that both of you are speaking of, and that's key, because we were considered as property. So the young black enslaved children, captives, were considered as a property and given to the children as a toy. This is your toy.
Exactly.
This is like you said, this is your life, a dog, like your little monkey that you can play
with.
That's very important.
That talks.
Yeah.
And it was
what
you wanted to do.
Yeah. And you see, when
exactly what you wanted to do. Will not satisfy at you.
Yeah. They put us in the most horrible condition we're the only ethnic group that has been defamed in the Constitution, saying that we're three-fifths. Then you've got the situation where they gave us a name that calls us out of our term to make us be known as subhuman. The word nigger. And our young people today still use that N-word and don't understand the origin of the word. And this film here shows you why they called you a nigger. And it is a film that most white supremacists and Zionists didn't want blacks to see this film because it takes the scale off the room and help blacks understand what they put us through, not only physically but psychologically.
Speaking of psychologically, let me take a little bit. It showed the pains of. It starts out showing the pains of the man, of the black male head of the household, what he has to go through. And it's so quick. You know, it's just really so quick, but it's very painful what he has to deal with being a man. Okay, then it shows further on what it's like being property. You have no say-so, not only in your body, but even your woman's body, you know. And then it goes on to show the different pains, like of a woman, her son, she's got to deal with the son, she's got to deal with the pain of her man. And then it shows the quick wit of a woman. You know, it shows things you got to pay attention to. I really it's detailed stuff, but it's real subtle. You know, like today somebody decides that they don't want to eat. It's like, I don't want to eat. He's not eating. I don't want to eat. Nope. You just keep your lips shut. But like you just said, I mean, like, and he's just having little conversations, just like he's just nailing some nails in the wood. He's like, uh-huh, yeah, give me that hammer, yeah. Knocks his teeth out, uh-huh. So how much you say it is? And then give me the funnel, then the sugar mush down there. Uh-huh, so okay, so how about next Thursday? He's just having a conversation as blood is gushing out of this man's mouth because he's knocked the teeth out, the forced food. It's like, damn.
Yep. Well, how about the elder sister in the film? How she was like the matriarch or the elder that kept the slaves centered on being concerned about taking care of each other. And the way she dies, it was so touching. That's almost it.
Wow, it sounds touching. I can't wait to see this film. Anything else that either of you want to highlight?
Yeah,
that we should pay attention to?
The final scene that got me was this young boy goes back and snitch on the movement to the uprising. I'll leave it at that. I just won't say no more because the price for freedom is death.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given. And Nat Turner was willing to give his body, knowing that they were killing thousands of hundreds of blacks just because they were black, because they still hadn't gotten Nat Turner. And they told you what they did to his body when he was hanged, after he was hanged. And it's a story about a black hero that they didn't, it was forbidden for blacks to know about Nat Turner. Now I know why. Now we know why.
Mm-hmm. And I have two more points. I have two more points that I want to leave people with. One is, it got to a point where as Nat, it kind of clicked in his head, like, I'm telling these people to be subdued and just bow down and, you know, accept whatever it is that's being given to you, even if it's harsh. And I'm looking at y'all, and y'all look like y'all suffering real bad. And so he finds another part of the Bible, and it says, you know, you ain't got to take shit, you know. But he was saying what was in the Bible. And you saw the kind of light come up in the people's eyes. They kind of start raising their head up.
Yes.
And it said something about fight. And then somebody's shoulders kind of sit back up, you know, and you saw a little twinkle in their eye, you know, because they were looking really dead, just walking dead. But he chose a part in the Bible that fit what they needed to hear. Fight. You don't have to.
And didn't they start shouting?
From then on, he changed, okay? And so that's when I like the part where a whole group of men, they weren't, you didn't see a whole lot of men saying, oh, no, nah, y'all shouldn't be doing, you didn't see that. You saw everybody saying, I'm with you.
Wait a minute.
I've had
don't
enough.
Don't leave with the house Negro now. The house Negro.
Well, you know, there's always a Stephen. We only had one Stephen, and there's always one vocal Stephen, and there's always one quiet one that you shouldn't trust. We just got to remember that. Whenever we put something together, there's always one vocal Stephen. You shouldn't be doing it. And then this one doesn't say anything, but he's the one to look out for. I wanted to say that was my one point.
My last point is, don't sleep on the strength of those women. All of them stood by Nat. All of them were proud of him. And I wanted to point that out. They didn't say,
well, now you know you shouldn't do this.
They didn't play that role. It says, I'm proud of you.
I'm glad to hear you mention that, because from what I've been reading, a lot of critics have been saying that the black woman's voice was so silenced in this film.
No, that's garbage.
That's what I'm saying. You got
garbage.
It wasn't It was. That's why I said you got to pay attention. Pay attention to the subtle things. They don't jump out at you like the Django and Underground. They don't just like bam. It's like bam. The woman lost her husband while he's trying to get some food. Never see him. The woman knows that her let's see, who is that to her? Her son. She knows that he's what he's destined for. Okay? Then it's something else. Oh, she has another son. The mistress can say, I like your child. I'm going to keep him at my house. And that's forever. It's like I'm taking your child. He'll be 50 feet away, but you can't play with him anymore because I like him so much that I'm just going to keep him. He's a cute little thing. He's just adorable. Say goodbye to your mother, sweetheart. That's what happened with Ned. Mm-hmm. Say goodbye to your mother, sweetheart. So that's a woman's got to go through that, and she's supposed to be. You know, you don't give her credit for that, having to deal with that and not go lunatic, stark, raving mad. A woman had to do that a lot. The black woman had to go through that a lot. So don't sleep on that.
Mm-hmm. So, in your opinion, the black woman's voice was not so much silent.
It was not silent. She just wasn't going stark raving mad and yelling and all of that. You had to, mm-hmm. I don't know. Some people may not get it. That's why I'm pointing it out.
Well, you know, there are those people who feign ignorance, and they're the worst kind. They know what the film is all about, but by them being a white supremacist or a Clarence Thomas type, that they do not dare want to hurt or upset white supremacy.
Okay.
So you have this scene where the wife is severely beaten. Nat Turner's wife is severely beaten, and she tells Nat Turner that we're just going to film after she's barely beaten, and hardly her face is unrecognizable. Just pay attention to what she tells Nat Turner.
Black Rose, can y'all hear me? This is Scotty. Greetings, everyone.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good film, but I do have to point out that it is a work of fiction. There was nobody who snitched. Like the African-American history professor who saw Van's screening of the film, she took issue with that and saying that nobody snitched. In real life, nobody snitched. And in the movie, she said that it was a young boy who kind of gave them away. And she said that that did not happen, as well as his wife was never beaten or gang raped. None of that stuff really happened. That's the Hollywood, you know, to sell tickets and to make a good movie and what have you. So I think I don't think that some of the critics are being Uncle Toms or anything like that when they're just simply pointing out that this is a work of fiction based on a real story, and that, you know, there were no snitches, no proxy races running to go tell Massa, and no, everybody took part in the uprising, as it seems like she's saying, Featherlight is saying, they did get that part right, that everybody was down for it. Nobody was like, no, let's not do it. Now, I'm glad to hear he got that
right.
But some of the little things.
But let's be clear that it's not unusual for blacks to be snitched.
Well, but again, but let's stick to the facts, though, because people will look at movies and then they'll be like, oh, this is historical fact. Just like Hillary Clinton was talking about Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, and it's full of lies about that man and making him look good. So we can't take movies and then be talking like they're facts. If it's a good movie telling a good story, let's recognize that. But when it comes to the historical facts, there were no sellouts in Nat Turner's Rebellion. That's all I'm saying. I think that's important to note as well. That because we always keep hearing about the sellouts, and surely there have been plenty of sellouts. But in this story, Nat Turner's Rebellion, there were no sellouts. So at least they got that right, is what I'm hearing from Featherlight.
Yeah,
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. They did have a little boy. Featherlight, was it a little boy in the movie that snitched him out?
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
But see, the way I look at movies, I don't... The fact that it's made it to Hollywood, that lets me know everything in it is not going to be true. Because, like you said, they got to sell tickets. So I'm thinking they just kind of like, where does LeBeau come from? You know, it's just like somebody just kind of threw in there. It just kind of, you know, add some depth to things. But I don't take that seriously. You know, I really, because I hadn't seen anything about a LeBeau in the history books. You know, so I just kind of think, I think maybe that was supposed to symbolize something. I'm still trying to think, what was that supposed to mean? Was it supposed to mean that even our children were so brainwashed that they didn't know where their loyalties lie? You know, but I didn't take that as part of a true fact, no.
Right, but a lot of people are, Featherlight. That's why, that's the only reason I'm chiming in, is because I've heard people take it as literal fact. And so I'm good to hear.
Okay.
I'm here to hear this good report.
Well, see, they're grabbing with the negative. I'm looking at, you know, how many were saying, yes, I'm with it. I'm with, yes. Can I have, one man said, can I have this one right here? He's like, sure can. Sure can. Cause I want him. Yes.
Well, I don't know why people expect for this film to be, totally in a sense of historical fact, because
right.
Because a lot it's not a documentary, it's a film.
Exactly, exactly.
About right. Nat Turner. And how many films do we watch that actually come from a book and it's adapted for the screen? So I don't even get the whole
controversy. Well, I do, because I'm an amateur historian.
It didn't happen like that. Damn, it's a family.
I didn't even know this was going on. It's not a
documentary.
I can't believe it. Oh,
it's
wow.
not a documentary.
Well, let me say this, and I'll shut up. I'll shut up. Uh-huh. I kind of put that on Nate Parker, because Nate Parker was asked the question, will it be historically accurate? And he said that it was going to be loyal to the true story. So he built up this expectation that it was going to be historically, you know, it wasn't going to be any exaggerations or embellishments or any fictional things in it. So he said that, he brought that criticism on himself. He should have just said it's based on a real story, but some of the things have been changed. That's all he had to say, and it wouldn't have been no controversy.
You're right about that. You know what? I do hate to say it. I think Nate Parker kind of failed in some areas with this, because now that you mention that, which I wasn't aware of, now that you mention that, there was another incident, and not trying to cast any aspersions or anything like that on this whole rape case and all of that. I did read that Oprah Winfrey had provided him or offered him like a publicist so that he could come in and have a proper statement in response to this whole rape case thing, and he didn't do that. So I think that, I don't know if it's his arrogance or what, where he just couldn't just come out and say, bam, 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 this is what happened, big mistake, sorry, and just squashed it all right then and there, so that people wouldn't even come back with all of this wanting to protest. So I think he failed to really speak as fully as he should have on that, as well as like what you're saying, Scotty, just to not sit here and have people thinking that this is going to be as close to the facts that happened in, with the whole Nat Turner story. Just, it's a film about Nat Turner. We will embellish, blah, 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 blah. Don't try to make people think it's a documentary. Yeah, you should not have done that.
You're
so
right
now
about
I can
that.
See. Right now, yeah. I can see where that commentary comes from. If you kind of led people to believe that, so he said that. I can't really articulate it right now because we need to go to break. But he seems to kind of like miss some times where he could have been more open about certain things, and he didn't, or been more truthful about some things, and he didn't take that opportunity, or been more clear, not truthful, just more clear,
transparent.
I guess. More transparent. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he could have been a little more transparent with the whole, how the film was going to play out, mm-hmm. as well as explaining exactly what happened. Well, he did. I mean, people could read the transcript on that record, and I did want to get into that, too. Let's just get into that when we come back from break, because we need to take a break, and we can come back and, what happened here? We can come back and talk about that, because I do want to get into that. As we go to break, let me get this back up. Did you guys know that Beyonce and Solange, her sister Solange Knowles, they both made history because their albums are both number one. Let me get this correct here. Solange released a new album. Oh, it's so coffee house cool. I just love
it. It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's so coffee house cool. It's called A Seat at the Table. And let's see, she topped Billboard 200 chart list. Okay, and so both of them broke a record to become the first sisters in music history to both score a number one album in the same calendar year. So, hats off to those sisters. They are doing the damn thing.
They sure are.
Definitely doing a damn thing. So, let me just get into the chat.
Yay.
Right. Okay, so let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, Tom Joyner, glad to be with you as well, Sybil and Jay. Birth of a Nation dropped this weekend, hit theaters, 2,100 screens, earned $7.2 million. If you looked at, though, in mainstream media, they say, oh my God, it was a flop. It was a flop because it didn't make the estimate of $10 million. Let me make it perfectly clear, Tom. We do not operate by mainstream media's narrative in terms of what they say is a flop or what isn't. Here's what I mean by that. Nate Parker made Birth of a Nation. There have been many people who have been trying to make a movie about Nat Turner, have never been able to. The fact that it got made is a success. Now, here's what's also interesting. 12 Years a Slave, when it opened, earned at its widest release $6.6 million. It opened in fewer screens than Birth of a Nation, but it went on to earn $56 million in the U.S. It went on to earn more than $120 million worldwide, and so that movie was a success. So how is it that we can say after 1 week, this movie is a particular flop? Thousands of people have seen this movie at screenings across the country. When you hear people talk about them being in tears, standing applause in Toronto, standing applause in Sundance, standing applause at the American Black Film Festival, the problem is when we accept somebody else's narrative about our stories. The reality is this, if you actually break it down, a movie makes $7.2 million. Tom, it was made for $10 million. Where I come from, that's not necessarily a flop. Yes, Fox Searchlight paid $17.5 million. But the reality is, they are likely going to make money on the movie as it stays out. Now, here's what I do understand. The last 3 months, you've had significant controversy with the film dealing with the rape accusations against Nate Parker from 17 years ago. I absolutely understand that. That plays a role because that drives the press narrative all the time, and so you take it away from the movie. But here's what I do understand, and that is very rarely are our stories told on the big screen, especially a story of a black man killing a whole bunch of white folks in slavery. You're not quite going to see that movie. You're not going to see those movies on a consistent basis. Here's what also happens, Tom, that I want our audience to understand. When you also say, oh, it's a flop, you have potential movies in development in Hollywood where they're pressing the pause button saying, well, if this didn't do so well, we shouldn't make this movie. Delroy Lindo is going to do a movie dealing with Marcus Garvey. Will that movie get made? What about a movie dealing with Frederick Douglass? Will that movie get made? We need to understand the system, and again, when we begin to use the language of others in describing films that impact us. You remember Just Right, Sybil?
Yes, sir.
Guess what happened? It made $42 million. Hollywood said, we thought that movie should make more money. It literally stopped all black romantic comedies that were in development. Yet Jennifer Aniston can make 30 romantic comedies, and the 30 have failed, and I can guarantee you she'll be in a 31st. That is the reality of what we see when it comes to Hollywood. But let me make this...
And you know what? I just want to pause him right there, because that's another point that I really want to make. Now, this is just a little bit off topic, but it is dealing with black films. Notice how our black actors have to star in about damn near 20 or 30 films before mainstream Hollywood notices them, just like with Nate Parker. The man has been in 20 damn films. Yes. All of a sudden, now you're like, oh, Nate Parker. Ooh,
who is he?
That kind of, like, we got to protest this. He didn't protest the other 20 films he was in when he was in, even if you didn't really know him. I mean, hell, who don't know about Great Debaters? If you didn't see it, then that's your own damn fault, because that was a damn good movie.
It
starred Denzel Washington. So, I mean, what, you didn't go see Denzel? You didn't go see Denzel and the other little, what's her name, Journey Smollett, who played in the other film that I want to mention, Underground, with Abdiz Hodge. Oh, my God. If you have not seen Underground, that is
my
very
goodness.
Good. And I am so not into, like, just seeing anything that's too depressing at this point, because it's depressing enough seeing people being shot down, innocent people being shot every day, these live snuff films we have to view. But I do love historic films. I love documentaries. And I definitely love black history. And so Underground, not only does it delve into the whole escape plan of a group of people escaping from this plantation called Macon Plantation in Georgia, in the Savannah, Georgia area, but it just deals with the struggles, having to, just like Nat Turner, having to gather a group of people together that he could trust, and building a team, people that had access to this, a person that had access to the tools, a person that had access to the house, where they could, a person that could gain access to the stamp, so that
a person
they
could read.
A person who could read. They needed the watermark stamp, so that once someone wrote, they had to find someone to write out the free papers. So when they escaped, they would have the free papers. So they had to make friends with the house slave, so that she could bring them the stamp. I mean, this was a meticulous plan that they had to work out so that they can escape. And even though the plans were for them to, like, escape at a certain time, circumstances caused them to have to immediately escape. And so I just thought it was just well put together. Let me see. So it's Journey Smollett. If you don't know who she is, I recall first seeing her in I'm drawing a blank.
Eve Bayer.
Name of that movie?
Eve Bayer.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
She's a
young
girl.
She played Eve Bayer. Yes, and her and Megan Good, I mean, they did so well in that film. So let's see. Underground is an American television period drama series created by Misha Green and Joe Pulaski about the Underground Railroad in Antebellum, Georgia. The show debuted March 9, 2016 on WGN. The show was renewed in April of this year for another 10 episodes for the second season. But I don't think the second season, Fella Light, is coming out until next year. So, we have to wait. But Journey, her name is Rosalie. She's a young, shy, sheltered mulatto. She's one of the Macon Seven. So it's seven of them that actually escape. So they are known as the Macon Seven. And slave catchers from all around are searching for the Macon 7 because there's such a high price on them, and particularly the mulatto, because her mother is actually the slave owner's, of course, bedwench mistress. But she's not playing. That mother, she's not your... I do appreciate the role that she played, because you know how when you're watching some of these films, you're always like, oh, why didn't they just poison them? Oh, why didn't they just slit their throat? You know, well, I know I say that. Why didn't they just put some glass in their food so they just, you know, slowly die and their stomach just charred up, just cut up? Why didn't they poison them? Why didn't anything, just anything? So in this film, that does happen. I won't give it away too much, but in this particular series, you do see the slaves, the enslaved captives, taking on some strength and fighting mm-hmm. for their freedom. And so I definitely can appreciate that. You want to share anything about Underground? Because you did see it also, Featherlight.
I guess I like the resourcefulness that's shown, how crafty they were. I had to think on their feet at the last minute, and just working together, whether you like somebody or not, you know, that was important, and using the different skills and strengths together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. So, for your Birth of a Nation, I can't wait to go and see that. It's a period drama film based on the story of Nat Turner, the enslaved man who led a slave rebellion in Southampton County, Virginia, in 1831. And so, I did want to hear from people, like, what were their thoughts in terms of, I know people were conflicted about seeing the movie, Gabrielle Union. She's in it. So what was her role? I heard she didn't have a speaking part in it. So did she not speak in the film or what?
Let me see. Like I said, nobody really just had like a starring role. Her part, when I was telling you what a man had to go through, she worked in the house, and her husband was a field man, and one of the guests, the white guest, took a liking to her, and he told the owner, you know, send her to my room. And another thing I wanted to point out is those Europeans, those slave owners, had to always try to impress one another. Mm-hmm. And impressing one another meant using your, how much property did you have? The slaves were considered property. Okay, how well behaved is your property? Do your property run away? Does your property talk back to you? You know, things like that. So you had to try to impress one another. So it was always about impressing their friends. If their friends saw one of your slaves they like, okay, I'll send her right to your room in a few minutes. Damn the fact that she's married. I'm trying to impress my friend. So the man, the husband, had to deal with that. So, yes, he was one of the first to say, I'm with you in this slave revolt. I sure am.
My question is, did Gabrielle Union have a speaking part? Because I read that she did
not.
She
was the wife. Oh, let me see.
I'm asking you, did she speak? I mean, did she verbalize anything? Did she say, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah? Because I read that she didn't speak, like, at all. And I'm just shocked because Gabrielle, she's like a well-known actress. So I'm just curious to know, did she mumble
what?
One word?
Come to think of it, I don't think she said anything. She cried. She cried, but I don't think she did say anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the film premiered in competition at the 2016 Sundance Film Festival on January 25th, 2016. Fox Searchlight Pictures bought worldwide rights to the film in a $17.5 million deal, the largest deal at the film festival to date. And of course, people may have heard that this was slated to be like an Oscar-nominated film. It would win Best Picture until all of the controversy around Nate Parker's Penn State rape case surfaced, which he was acquitted. And his also roommate at that time and co-writer for the film, both of them were under attack. And his co-writer, Celestine, I think his name is Jean Celestine, he was supposed to serve 6 months, but I believe he was released because the witness did not come back, did not return to court to testify. She subsequently committed suicide, and so her brother came out and spoke about how Nat Parker was responsible for her death. And I get it. I really do. I do, people. I do. I understand where you're coming from. I really do. People were saying we should not support this film, and I feel like that's your right. I had conversations with about this with people on Twitter, and I feel like you shouldn't stand in my way and try to tell me that I shouldn't go see the film, because I want to see it for my own personal reasons. Because I'm a historian. I love the story of Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser. So I want to see the film. I wanted to see the film. I want to see the film, and I'm going to see it. If you don't want to see it, then you just don't want to see it for your reasons, and I respect that. The man was acquitted, and it is what it is on that. And I am so sorry for people that have been sexually abused, because I'm one of those people. So I totally get it, and I understand it. But I just don't think that, I don't think that it was fair for people to want to stand in the way of other people going to see the movie, because if you're that adamant about people not going to see this film, and if you're that passionate about people being raped, then in that case, guess what? And I'm getting ready to really pull it out. In that case, you should not be working for any fucking, excuse my language, I'm sorry about that, guys. You shouldn't work for any company. You shouldn't go see any film. You shouldn't, let's say, what else? Product, because all of this crap has raped not just black women, but women, period. If that's the case, then you should be standing in front of Johnson & Johnson product, corporation, right now for having that talcum powder on the shelves, and they still have it, which we should be protesting if you want to protest something, having that talcum powder on the shelves that they know cause cancer in women.
No.
They've been sued. This is in court.
And people are winning.
Johnson & Johnson's not only that damn powder, but that baby shampoo causes cancer in babies and all kinds of issues. So you should be protesting that. You should be protesting an entire system that has raped us. That has raped us and disenfranchised us in so many ways. You just spoke, Featherlight, about how, and that's a historical fact. We know that the slave owners could just give their captives off to anybody else. Well, in that case, you need to be protesting this whole goddamn system for everything that they've done from us, from that point on to the point where social workers could come into our homes and the women couldn't have relationships with men because, oh, if that's not the husband, if he's not living in this house, then he can't be over here, and then we're going to cut off your welfare check and all that. That's rape and robbery of us not being able to have a relationship, to build a relationship with a man so that we could possibly get married. But then you turn around and say, y'all don't know how to have a family. Y'all have these broken families. Well, hell, you broke my family, and then when I try to build another one, you prevent me from doing that. So I would say to all of you that want to protest Nate Parker, who was acquitted of rape, protest this entire system. Protest your corporation that you're working for, because I'm sure, especially if you work for someone like Wells Fargo, Brooks Brothers Suit, all of these people that had involvement in the slave trade, okay? So go protest them. Protest those companies. That's what you can do. But you don't want to do that. You just want to protest against one person and his film because it's about Nat Turner. Get the hell out of here.
Uprising. Uprising. A bunch of black people saying, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Give me what you got and I'm ready. Knowing that some of them were going to die.
Exactly. So,
and
it was no fear. Moving right along, Marvel, Luke Cage. That was a great one. Caused Netflix streaming to collapse when it was released. Luke Cage is an American web television series created for Netflix by Chio Hadari Coker, based on the Marvel Comics character of the same name. I had never heard of this character, honestly. Mm-hmm. Trust me, the only reason why I watched it, because it was a black film, and he was a black superhero, and I read that he was going to transform his neighborhood community, which was Harlem. I love anything, any kind of film pretty much that's filmed in New York or Harlem. It's just something about that energy. And then when it was about a black superhero, I was like, yes, I want to watch it. And so Mike Coulter stars as Carl Lucas, Luke Cage. He's a former convict with superhuman strength and unbreakable skin who now fights crime. And then Mahershala Ali and Simone Missick, Theo Rossi, Eric Larrey, Harvey, and Rosario Dawson, and Alfred Woodard, they also star in this film. And to me, it was just super great. I love the fact that there were so many black historical references, from Crispus Atticus to building, like Alfred Woodard wanted to build like a Madam C.J. Walker complex. Just so many historical black references. And so
talking
there
about
so many,
black authors. They were talking about black authors.
Black authors.
Books.
Yes. Some of the books that
Richard Wright.
Were shown. Yes, some of the books that were shown and some of the scenes were books by Richard Wright. I think even August Wilson. So they reference books in the film, which I love, of course, because it's not all about sex or shoot 'em up, bang bang, and all this stuff. So, I mean, I just thought it was.
And the no swear jar, I think that's a good thing.
The no swear jar in the barber shop.
No swearing. Yeah, no swearing in the barber shop. You have
to
pay.
So if you sweared or said some kind of curse words, you would have to pay. Put a certain amount of money in the little swear jar in the barbershop, and people knew about the barbershop. I liked the way that what was his name, the baseball player, because the daughter has the memorabilia baseball shop.
Oh yeah, I didn't catch
her father.
Name.
Goodness gracious, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. But you guys have to forgive me. But it's just a great, great, great film. Watch it. Season 2 will be coming out soon. Well, not very soon. But season 1 was great. It's 13 series. You can catch it on Netflix.
Mention the fact that there was a lot of hoopla on the Twitter about there not being enough white people in it.
So the Twitter trolls were saying that it was too black, and they were uncomfortable with the fact that the cast didn't really have white people in it, which, you know, honestly, all our lives up until maybe about the past 30, 40 years ago, mostly everything was white. When you look at Leave It to Beaver, when you look at Happy Days, when you
even
look at Friends, Three's Company, all of these films had all white cast. And we watched them religiously.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. We watch your Leave It to Beaver. We watch your come on, Aji, Feather Lights. You know about all of those films. What was another one? What's another
Jackie
one?
Gleason, I forgot the name of it, but him and his
right.
I mean, just, you never saw anybody black.
No. I love Lucy. Did that have a black character? No.
Dick Van Dyke.
Exactly. We did not see black people in these films. Okay.
So now
that we're able to have our own films, our directors and writers and actors, you want to be mad. But in actuality, Luke Cage was very diverse because not only are black people represented, Asian people are represented, Puerto Ricans are represented, Dominicans are represented. So the film is very diverse. There are a few white people. Of course, they're playing police officers. The film is very diverse. So I don't know what you're talking about, but again, I do know
that
you're
just
mad.
You want to take over.
And it sounds very silly. It sounds very silly because, again, we watch all of your white films and we don't complain like that. I mean, we want to see black people, but then we say, well, they didn't have any black people in it. But we still watch those films. And even when black people start having films, black people were always feeling like we had to be so inclusive. And what would happen? The black couple would always have as their best friends a white couple.
Exactly.
Because we were always being inclusive. Whereas in a lot of white films, there was no
obligation.
Like an obligation to have to include like a black couple as the friend, as the couple's friend, or anything
like
that.
They may have some minor little coming walking through scene or something, but nothing big. If they wanted to have them in there, but. We always felt like, you got very best friend.
Yeah. Right. Because even Tyler Perry movies, when he started coming out with his films, even he was always including white people in his films, trying to keep it diverse, which, I think it's perfectly fine because the film should be representative of the world. There's nothing wrong with that. So why are you upset when there's a black film and the main characters are black and they reference a lot of black history, because no one is mad. We do get mad when there are white films and you're referencing George Washington all the time or Abraham Lincoln or something like that. But you don't reference Malcolm X. Okay. So have a seat.
Have a seat.
Okay. Then, anything else you would like to share about Luke Cage?
Luke Cage.
I would say go see it. Just stream it. Definitely stream it. Let's just take a quick little quick momentary break, and we'll be right back, and let's talk about Queen Sugar, Blackish, Power, Survivor's Remorse.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, and we are back, and we want you to donate to the Black Talk Radio Media Network Project, and you can do that by going to the webpage, and you can donate so that we can keep streaming these shows to you and for you. And also you can join up on the new community social media outlet or platform, BTR, We're having some really, really good conversations there. Join up, get a sign up, and also purchase a membership for a friend so that the two of you can communicate and build more friends on BTR as well. It's a social media platform very similar to Facebook. You can like and share different posts, share your comments, pictures, join groups, start groups, and this is something for us. So look, for us, by Scotty Reeves. So I want all of you to do that, definitely. Now, Featherlight, I don't think I've been seeing you on there lately, because we should have some comments that we can comments and groups that we can start on there too. So we need to work on that.
Okay.
To start up a group. Yes.
Okay.
So let's go to a comedy, Survivor's Remorse. Now, I'm late. I must admit, I am. I'm late getting on this because it's not a new show. I don't tend to watch a lot of television, but here lately I've kind of been getting into the black shows. And, you know, I just love my little black shows. I do. If it's a black show, I pretty much watch it, especially if it's kind of dealing with some content that I find interesting, intriguing, or enlightening, or it's something that I can get out of. I can draw something from it. It's something I can extrapolate from the content of the show, then I'll be into it. And I know, like, say, Empire, a lot of people don't like Empire, the series Empire, but there are some points in there that I do appreciate from that particular show. Not everything, just like a lot of other films that I've watched, but there are some aspects of Empire that I do like. We'll come to that too. But Survivor's Remorse, produced by LeBron James, it's a comedy television series. It airs on Starz. Now, this actually premiered October 4th, 2014, so they've had a 2-year anniversary. And the plot centers around the lives of Cam Calloway, who is Jesse T. Usher, and his family after he signs a pro basketball contract and moves his family to Atlanta. Let's see, on August 24th, 2016, Survivor's Remorse was renewed for a 4th season. I like this show because it shows you black life and like our path and our struggle. Say, for instance, our rags to riches story. There's so many of us that can talk about coming from, say, the projects, and now you quote unquote middle class or wealthy. You've been able to provide for your family when your parents probably were struggling and eating beans and rice, but now you can have beans and rice as a side dish along with some steak or something like that. So I love the story because it does show that even with the wealth, there's still issues that they're dealing with, like the sister. She doesn't know who her father is, Cam Calloway's sister, so she's trying to find her father. She wants to know who her father is. And how many people have that story, trying to connect with your father or your mother? So I love the story for that. And Tashina Arnold, who plays Cassie Calloway, Cam's mother, even though she's now the mother of this star basketball player, she still keeps it very, very real. She's beautiful, but she's just still that down-to-earth person. They come from Boston, so she's just very, very down. And I wonder how people feel about the relationship she has with this Chinese man. He's a billionaire, and he signs a contract with Cam Calloway so that Cam can be the sponsor for his shoe, Bao tennis shoes. So yeah. I know on Twitter a lot of people love the relationship. I too love the relationship because I feel like if you find someone that loves you, wants to be with you, and adores you like he adores you, then hey, go for it. do what works for you. Because I'm not going to sit here and say that if some Asian man, which I wouldn't go out trying to search for an Asian man to be in a relationship, but if one comes to me and he totally adores me like that, I'm going to see what happens. All right?
Yeah.
I sure will, because guess what? Some of you brothers, you'd be slow to the punch. You see a nice-looking sister, and I don't know if it's because so many sisters have been so mean and rude over the years, because I know there are a lot of mean and rude sisters. I know this because we have some issues that we need to deal with and stop being so mean, not only to men, but to each other. So I think that y'all messing it up for good women like me. You're running off these brothers, and they don't want to hardly talk to the sisters anymore because some of you have been so rude and mean. So stop that, because that's pushing the men away from us and then pushing us into the arms of somebody else. And then that goes right, then it's a circle effect, because then you have men complaining, ah, oh, look at her, she with the Chinese man, or she with the Indian man. Oh, Negro, I walked by you 10 times and you didn't even speak. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I was out one time, and that's why I don't go to clubs. I was out one time, I let somebody drag me to a club. I'm sitting up in this old boring-ass crowded club, and we stand up there. I'm looking cute and fly as always, you know, 45, looking like I'm 25. And one little old white Greek man, the only little old white man in there, of course, he is attracted to me, sister with the natural hair, when all the other brothers, they run into the girls with the long $300 weave down their back. So they just, you know, ignore me. But then when the little old Greek white man come over there and, you know, buying us drinks, want to dance, got me out on the dance floor, two-stepping, spinning and everything, drinking up, you know, buying up the bar. Then all the brothers, they want to look at me all askantly, all sideways. And then, you know, so after I finish, you know, buying up the bar with the Greek man and dancing, and, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then, you know, as usual, what they do, Feather, like grabbing your arm as you're going up there. Oh, you leaving? Oh,
yeah, you leaving?
I've been here for hours.
You have said one word to me.
I've been here 2 hours.
One word to me.
I've been dancing. I walked to the ladies' room so you can get a good look.
Yeah,
you know, I did everything.
Yeah, I give you the opportunity.
I gave you
the opportunity. If I say no,
exactly. I'm not with a crowd of girls, so you won't be too shy to come over. I'm only with one other person.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I give you the opportunity. I walk around a little bit so you can build up your strength and come over and say a little something. And then 2 hours later, when I'm leaving, then you, oh, baby, you leaving?
Oh, all of a sudden, you found your voice.
Let me buy you a... Yeah, all of a sudden, now you're ready to... Let me buy you a...
No,
I've already had enough drinks. The white guy bought them. While you was
like,
look,
I was like that.
Yeah,
I was like that.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. Yes, it's like that. It sure is. It's definitely like that, because you waited 2 hours to say something. So anyway, I digress. But you guys know how you do, and you need to stop doing that. But I know what it is. It's a lot of you rude-ass women, once again, that have shot so many men down. So stop doing that. You're not that cute that you can be going off on a brother when he come over and asks you to dance or want to buy you a drink or something like that, you know, or have a conversation with you. You can
it
be
polite.
It takes
a lot of nerve for him to walk up to you.
It takes, no matter how big and bad men pretend like they are so afraid to come and speak to a woman out. Some of them are afraid, and some of them just are hesitant. I won't say afraid. They're just hesitant because of the response that they have received from women. So chill out on that, women. Just chill out. Be nice. Be approachable.
Ladies,
hey
ladies, that's when a man is at one of his most vulnerable moments.
Because he opened up already in his mind. He got rejection might be in the back of his mind, or she ain't going to like me, or I'm looking at my clothes. Man, why I wear this? You know what I'm saying? So if a man approach you, some men, I ain't going to say all men, but some men, that's like their most vulnerable. Just to talk to you.
I feel you. I know, because I have male friends, and they have expressed how when they've tried to approach a woman and then she shoot them down and look all crazy. No, I don't want to dance. You know, frowning all up, mean mugging and all of that stuff. You didn't have to do it like that. Just tell them, well, not right now. You know, I not right now. I just came in. I don't want to dance right now. Lord have mercy. Ooh, y'all get on my nerves. Y'all just mess it up for nice women like myself. But anyway, we need to go ahead on and close out, because we need to prepare for the next show to come on. You can
y'all the last show tonight. Y'all the last show. That was for the other shows before you, so I could, you know, the ones that have a show coming on after them. Y'all the last one of the night, so you got about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, cool, because time went by so quickly. Let me see. Power. Let me talk about Power, because that just, the season, what was it, season 3, I believe, concluded. Mm-hmm. Now, Power, now that's 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson's project, and I'm not a very big fan of 50 Cent, but I mean, Power is great, and I heard that, like, he and what's her name from Empire, Taraji P. Henson, they apparently was having some kind of beef about which show was the best, but Empire's ratings are higher than Power's ratings, but whatever. I think both of them are great shows. I love the acting on both of those. But Power is an American crime drama television series. It also airs on Starz, and the series follows James St. Patrick, who's nicknamed Ghost. He's owner of a popular New York City nightclub called Truth, and he's a major player in the city's biggest illegal drug network, and he struggles to balance these two lives, and the balance topples when he realizes he wants to leave the drug ring in order to support his legitimate business. And I can imagine people who have dealt with this in various ways, who want to become legal, want to legalize their illegal actions and get out the game, as they say, and they're faced with all of these difficulties. And what's very difficult with him is he wants to get out the game and become legal, but his wife, Tasha, who is played by Naughton, what's her name? I think her name is Nori Naughton. But anyway, she played in that film, Biggie Smalls film, when the movie was produced.
Oh, yeah,
about Biggie Smalls.
Was Kim.
She played Little Kim.
Yeah.
Cute little girl. And so, but his wife, you know, she from, his wife from the streets. They've been together for a long time, and she loves that lifestyle, and she thinks that he can't be a legitimate. She doesn't have faith in his becoming a legitimate businessman. She wants him to stay in the streets. And all of this, stay entangled in all of this illegal activity. So I know it's very difficult for a person like him when you're trying to get out of that life, and your partner, your female partner, is constantly trying to drag you in. That's why they say sometimes your family can be your worst enemy. So he's struggling with that as he's reconnected with his long-lost teenage love, Angela Valdez, Angie, this Puerto Rican lady, and also his best friend from childhood, Tommy Agin. Tommy Agin is like his wife, Tasha, wants to keep him in the game and dealing with the drugs and all of that. But Angela, his longtime sweetheart, that he sees when she comes into his club Truth. He hasn't seen her in like 15 years or something. He sees her again, and so everything just comes back to him, and they start having this affair. So that is a
Power is a powerful movie. It's filled with so much drama, soft porn. A lot of people have said that, hey, you can get your little soft porn on by watching Power. And I would say you sure can. Empire, we would have to do almost a whole show on Empire. Empire, a lot of people don't like Empire because of portrayal of the gay son. But I will say this, when I watched Empire last week, I think it was last week, Empire dealt with the whole Black Lives Matter, black men being pulled over by cops. You're wealthy, but you're being accused of stealing from your own place, like what happened to Skip Gates when he was accused of breaking into his own house. Mm-hmm. Damn neighbors sitting up. Mm-hmm. You don't know me. I know he felt like, you don't know me. I'm a black scholar, been all over TV, all over the world, living in this mm-hmm. neighborhood probably before you moved your ass in, and then you want to call the police on me. So Empire had a scene where it dealt with that, a black man being pulled over by cops. Now he's caught up in the system. And this is a Wharton graduate. He's a businessman. He's a CFO of a publicly traded company. And he's pulled over, beaten by the cops, and arrested. And this happened. And so me, I look past the whole da-da-da scene with the with the whole storyline with the gay son and all of that, because I don't know why y'all tripping about that, because you know it's gay people out here. You know your choir directors used to be the little gay boy and all of this stuff. So I don't know why people trying to act like gayness doesn't exist. We may not want to see it on TV, which I totally understand that, because you may not want to explain that to your child. I totally get that. But again, I try to see what can I extrapolate from films, and this is what I like about Empire. I'm not really focused on the gay storyline, because that's not even really promoted on Empire as much. It's more family issue, right? Family business, and now they've taken on this whole spin, really truly addressing which they did this in the previous season as well. Empire addressed Black Lives Matter and police brutality. So I totally can appreciate that. What are your thoughts, Feather Light?
I really do appreciate them highlighting just really social issues. They got the mental health issue with the son. And
I forgot about that.
That's like, you know, what uh-huh. that's like dealing with that, how that affects those around you, and the support that a person needs when they have a breakdown, you know, but you can still carry on a regular life. But that's a mental issue. The mother holding a cookie, holding that family together no matter what. And demanding respect. I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Even though mm-hmm. her sons are grown, she demands respect from them.
Yes,
she demands respect from them.
Mm-hmm. And she demands respect from Lucius, who is played by Terrence Howard. She demands respect from him. And I do appreciate the fact that although they are not actually married, they still work together with business, and they work together keeping that family together and intact.
Exactly, exactly.
And the sanity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's not easy to do. But
no,
they're doing
it's not.
It. But they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Certainly appreciate that.
They're putting aside some things for for unity.
It's for the betterment of the family.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. And if you that's right. That's what I really, really appreciate about Empire is the reference to family so often, and keeping the family together, and the showing of family dinners. There's always a scene of the family sitting down together at the dinner table. I remember, like, I think the very, like, first few episodes, there was an emphasis on, oh, how come you didn't come to dinner? Like, you know, we have dinner together.
Right.
We're supposed to have dinner together, and you missed it.
Yes.
Why didn't you? And they were holding that other brother accountable, like, how come you didn't come to dinner? You know you're supposed to be there.
Right.
And so
right.
I was like, man, see, that's what I'm talking about. And that's
they don't
what we
show
used
that
to
often.
Do, have, that's right. And that's what we used to do, sit down and have dinner together as a family. And
as a family.
If
it's
you
a
have
family.
A family,
when Mama said it's dinner
that.
Time, it's dinner time. We come to dinner.
You don't
stop
take your plate
doing.
In your room.
Right.
You have dinner at the table. That's right.
Yes.
All right, so we are going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Lotus Place tonight. Don't forget to go on to Black Talk Radio Network media page and donate. You can get your Black Talk Black Radio Matters t-shirt, Black Talk Radio Matters t-shirt, and also join up for the Black Talk Radio social experience, where you can join groups, you can share posts, you can share stories about your life, pictures, whatever you want to do for the most part, and have an opportunity to meet some people with similar likes and thoughts. Okay? Thank you, Feather Life. Thank you, King B.
You're welcome.
Go and see Birth of a Nation if you feel like that's something you want to see. If not, okay. If you don't like it, then why don't you go and produce a film so we can go and see it. All right, now.
Peace.
Namaste. And good night. Namaste.
I love it. I'm going to see it.